Please welcome to Celebrity Access with Renee, my very special guest today, David Cassidy. Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Of course, I'm talking to, you know, somebody who I idolize, so I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm still sort of getting conscious, but I'm actually really good.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, you just don't stop. I mean, you're on stage everywhere in every city. You know, you're doing theater, you're doing musicals. Of course, you know, at Mohegan Sun, doing the amazing Rat Pack is Back, which is getting some great reviews, and then you're bringing that to Broadway. When do you rest?
Well, I don't, and that's why I sound the way I do. It takes me about 4 or 5 hours to warm the vocal cords up because I'm in rehearsal during the day, and it's pretty exciting. You know, we started the Rat Pack is Back in Las Vegas at the Desert Inn before Steve Wynn bought it for a year, and it became an extremely successful show. And my friend and partner, Don Rio, who's a great television writer, great writer, but he's multiple Emmy Award winner, and we decided to make a loving tribute to create 1961 again, since Las Vegas was blowing up all of the old casinos, and there is no history there. We decided to bring some history back and wrote this show about Frank's birthday in 1961, and Dean and Sammy show up, and Joey is opening for him, and
and you're Bobby.
I play Bobby Darin, who happens to be in the audience that night. And I've been, it's been my baby and my passion. And we're bringing it to a theater in New York called The Supper Club, which is on 47th Street, which was built in 1929.
A lot of history there.
And it is an Art Deco masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And it's the only authentic place that in 1961 these guys would have played. It's actually, it was a legendary jazz and theater that Ella Fitzgerald played. I mean, I've got a great photograph from like probably 62, 63 with Jackie Wilson and little Stevie Wonder, who was 11 or 12 years old. And it's just a remarkable place. And where a lot of the great jazz and artists have played for decades. And our show opens on November 16th.
Right.
We start previewing, and its official opening is December 12th, which happens to be the night in our play that is Frank's birthday. So I thought that was appropriate.
That's very – did you plan it that way, or did it
just
time out?
Yeah, we did.
It would have been a better answer. Yeah, see, let me ask you that question again. Wow, did you plan it that way, or did it just happen?
Yes, actually, I did.
Oh, do you see?
Isn't it amazing how it works out that way?
It is amazing.
December 12th, 1961, and December 12th, 2005.
That's crazy.
But it's, you know, I have arguably now the best cast I've ever had, and they are fantastic talents. And it, you know, it speaks of the music and the charts and the band, and their talent is so enormous that you can't do it right unless you have incredibly talented people.
Everywhere you're playing, the reviews, because I've researched it a little bit here, and I'm actually going to go see you in New York.
Fantastic.
But the reviews that I'm reading, it's just that it's like a time warp. You're transformed. The music, the sounds, the what you're wearing, everything. I mean, you walk in and you're transformed. You forget all your worries and you just enjoy.
Well, that's in terms of entertainment. I think that's what our job is, don't you?
Absolutely. Now, you're the producer, the creator, the director, this, that, the other thing, and then you're performing. How do you do that with every show?
A lot of caffeine most of the time when you love to do something, as I do. And it, as I said, is kind of like my baby. I'm really proud of it. It has played all over the country. We are here at the Mohegan Sun for the last week, this next week, tonight, tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. And then we move to New York, where we start rehearsals and then open on November 16th.
Right, and you know, if anybody's interested, your official website is davidcassidy.com.
If anybody's interested.
And they can find out dates that might be closer to them as well.
They can.
So that would be pretty cool.
I hope you come and see it.
I'm definitely going in New York. I'm very excited about it. And, you know, I have David Cassidy on the phone, so I would not be doing my female listeners any justice if we didn't get into some, well, some topics here. So if you could just forgive me.
I'll indulge you. Go ahead.
Thank you. Now, the Partridge Family DVD came out last May.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself watching episodes with your family members, or are you just beyond that now?
Well, I didn't see the show originally because I was working on Friday night. I was usually traveling around and going to, you know, various concert halls. And, you know, it's for me, I'm very proud of the fact that it's a legacy. It has been something that was certainly responsible for me becoming extremely successful.
Mm-hmm.
And because it lives on and people really are very passionate about it, I'm just proud of the fact that it touched so many millions of people's lives and, you know, brought me a tremendous amount of fame and success. And it still holds up. Some of the actors in the first year that we worked with, that their careers were launched via television,
mm-hmm.
Jodie Foster, Richard Pryor, on and on and on.
It's
and on.
Crazy.
I mean, Jacqueline Smith, prior to The Angels, Farrah Fawcett. It was a very, very special, for me, a special time in my life. I got to work with some of the greatest musicians in the world and writers, and I would play in the studio every night and do the show every day and do concerts on the weekends. And just knowing that it has its place in history in the Smithsonian. And people love it. And I did a concert here week before last on the weekend, and it's the last concert that I'm going to do as David Cassidy this year because I'm doing Bobby now. And that's my job. But I will come back next year, and I'm going to play at the Mohegan in April again. And, you know, and I for many years I would go and work in the theater. I'd work on Broadway or I'd do television or whatever. And I wouldn't go on tour for, you know, probably up to a decade and come back to it. And it's like you open up a chest and you find all these great songs that are these jewels that I love and people love and they still hold up.
They're what a nice songs. Analogy. I love that.
Yeah, no, they are just great songs. And part of people, for me, their association with me, at least initially, you know, in spite of all the other work I've done, it's still a very special thing, and I'm really proud of it.
So how many years now do you think you've been a sex symbol? Let's go back. You have been a
sex symbol
for your
whole
life.
I just can't wear that. I don't know how to wear it, you know.
Oh,
it doesn't make sense to me. I wake up in the morning, I look at myself in the mirror and go, no. If they saw me like this, they certainly wouldn't think I'm a sex symbol. I'm not. I'm just, you know, I love the work. And I'm an actor, I'm a singer, I'm a writer, director. And
sex symbol.
I love to entertain people. I love to bring light into people's lives. And if it works for them, I love to play rock and roll. And I love to swing with the big band that I've got now. And doing Bobby, playing, you know, between Up the Lazy River and Beyond the Sea and Mack the Knife. I've never been happier working with the people that I'm working with. And the band is just outrageous.
That's great. Well,
and,
I have...
It's relentless. It is so... exciting to work with the kind of talent that I have got now in my show that I can't wait to take it to Broadway.
Well, I can't wait to see you.
I'm really looking forward to you seeing it.
I can't wait because, like I said here, we've been hearing so many good things about it. And the way my schedule has worked out is that I'm not going to be able to get to you until New York, so on Broadway.
Well, we are
wait.
Here. At the Mohegan Sun for the next 5 days. So
that's correct.
Come on, baby.
Absolutely. Now, listen, I thought you would enjoy knowing your top 5 eBay items. And by the way, you have almost 400 items up on eBay.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Good thing I don't visit that site.
If you want some fun, though, I thought you'd like to know the top 5 items that are being sold to make money off your name.
Okay, go ahead.
Number 5 is a 12-inch vinyl of The Last Kiss autographed by you.
George Michael and I.
Okay.
Yep.
Number 4 is a hand-signed double photo of you. I don't know, but it's going for a pretty
double photo.
It's a double photo, and they've got it framed, and apparently you've written on it, so it's going for quite a bit of money.
Okay.
Then the 3rd is an original Partridge Family bus. that you signed.
Oh, I know what those are. Yeah. Yeah.
Number two is a rare, it says mega rare, out of print German CD of David Cassidy.
Okay.
And then the number one item that's being sold for you on eBay right now is a David Cassidy autographed electric guitar.
Oh, well, that's cool.
That is very cool.
It's not my electric guitar.
No, but...
Somebody was standing outside the theater, and I signed the guitar, and now he's making money on it.
How does that make you feel?
You know, frankly, this whole thing on eBay is like, it is pretty silly when it comes to celebrities. I think we're... As a whole, I think we're obsessed with celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that people care and all of that. Don't get me wrong. Profiting on other people's signature, I've never been a big fan of that.
You know, I think it's a personal thing. Like, I have been in this business for 20 years now, so I have things that are special to me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sell them.
Exactly.
I want to keep them.
I mean, it becomes a question for me. I usually personalize them so it doesn't end up on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they come up and say, listen, will you sign this for charity?
Oh.
And you hate to be an investigator at that point and a detective. Excuse me, what charity is it? And
right.
You got the number and are you serious?
Right.
But in the end, I try and, you know, I do what I can. And people, if they're interested in profiting, I guess, go forward and do that. But
just have to shrug it off.
You know, can I spend my life in control of that? No.
Hey, you know what? I want to go back to the charity thing you just talked about. Your wife Sue has something called Kids Charities.
Yes, she created Kids Charities.
I thought I'd give you. I just have a
.org.
Yeah, I have a couple questions left, and I wanted to bring up KidsCharities.org. If you could explain a little bit about it.
Well, we began it back in when I was in Las Vegas doing the FX, I think in '98, and I did an annual golf tournament. It had a lot of sponsors and brought a lot of people in. Raised an enormous amount of money to give to various children's charities, both local, regional, national, and now international. Some very fine people in the United Kingdom have taken it over because my wife has been a little busy writing and raising a son. And at some point she said, you know, she never took a dime, never took a salary. In fact, we contributed quite a bit of our own personal finances to do that, and you know, making a difference in kids' lives and people's lives, families' lives. It was a labor of love for her, and she's as I have been continuing to support it, and support that is, I think, really an essential. Children and kids have been a big part of my life, starting when I was 19 doing the Partridge Family. I think that, you know, it is our future, and our investment in their future is really essential, giving back.
Well, thank you. It's kidscharities.org if you want more information.
Yep.
And one fun fact I'll leave you guys with about David Cassidy.
One fun fact.
Horses. I had no idea you were so into horses. I have a horse, and so when I was, you know, reading up on you, I can't believe it.
Oh, no, I raise and breed thoroughbred racehorses. I have for 25 years.
I can't believe that I would not have known that, being, you know, I have
a horse
myself.
Well, I kept it kind of quiet. I haven't shared a whole lot of it until last year. I had a horse that was on the Kentucky Derby Trail, and I have a couple of very good ones that are currently racing in New York, and I have one running this weekend in Canada, and I love it. I mean, it's my passion, and I have been somebody who devotes a lot of time, my free time, to the business of it, and someday maybe I'll get fortunate enough to either win the Breeders' Cup or win the Kentucky Derby. It's what all of us dream about.
Well, how cool is that? Just a little fun fact I thought I'd share with
you. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. And and now something that's not so fun, and I don't want to get into it at all.
Uh-oh.
But I think you might anticipate what's coming. You probably have been asked that if you've been doing interviews a lot lately, which I suspect you have been. But I don't really want to go into it, but is it kind of breaking your heart, or are you not even aware of that show that's on E! With Danny Bonaducci, Breaking Bonaducci? It's just awful.
Yeah, it's awful because I love the guy.
I know.
And he's a very damaged guy who has a substance abuse problem and has been through hell. And I knew him when he was 11 years old, and he's still someone who underneath it, we're all flawed, but it's tragic when whatever you need to do to become successful or famous. And the idea of living without a television series for Danny is a very difficult thing. Without being in the public eye, he finds it almost intolerable. And he was abused for many, many years as a child by his parents, by his father particularly. But once you understand that, underneath it is a very talented and a really good human being who happens to be pretty sad. And I have never seen it. I don't want to see it. He's my friend, and forever people will associate us. And every time he gets arrested or he sticks a needle in his arm, I have to hear about it, and it is painful for me.
Well, I'm sorry. And
that's okay.
I love the guy, I know.
And have supported him and will continue to do so emotionally. And I know he doesn't call me back because he's humiliated. And this is the first time in our lives that he has not responded to my phone call.
Oh, jeez.
And as a result, I know him so well. I'm the only one he can't BS. I'm the only one that he can't lie to me because he knows I know. And I think there's a part of him that always thinks of me as kind of like his big brother and looks up to me. And I can only say that I'm sad for him. And I wish him – his wife is a sweetheart, and he has a wonderful couple of kids that I hope he survives this. That's all.
I do as well, because I've always been a big fan.
I love
the
guy.
Yeah.
I really do. And he's a good human being underneath it all. He really is.
And what a attribution to you, because you kind of grew up in front of everybody, and you always hear these stories about, you know, child actors, this, that, the other thing, but you have just really stayed on one kind of path, give or take a few, I'm sure, that maybe we don't know about or that you've kept.
Doing the work has been the thing for me.
Yeah.
It's always been about, you know, if you have the talent, you have to sometimes create the opportunities for yourself. Mm-hmm. But from being in the theater, being on Broadway, or being in the West End of London, being a writer, being an actor, you know, it's helped me enormously to have a music career and to be a writer and to produce as well, and to be able to do it live. You know, my first job was in the theater before I ever did television, and my father was probably one of the most respected and consummate theatrical actors, and I aspire to be as creative and as in his art. My father was one of the greatest in my mind, and I still aspire to be that good.
Well, I think this is a great way to wrap up our interview. I mean, your career has spanned so many years, and still to this day, in 2005, when you mention the name David Cassidy, it brings just a smile and a flutter to a lot of women's eyelids, so it's always a pleasure to hear about you.
You know, it means a lot to hear that, and hopefully I'll bring a tear and a smile to some men, too.
I'm sure you do, David, but I don't know if you want to get into that right now.
I don't really want to, but I am somebody who's extremely democratic. It makes no difference to me, but I'm very flattered that you would say that. And much love to you. Have a great day, and come and see The Rat Pack is back here at the Mohegan, or come and see us on Broadway.
Absolutely. David Cassidy here on Celebrity Access with me, Renee. Thanks, David.
God bless, hon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.